Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for January 7th, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
The part that does the grinding actually becomes sharp as it grinds.
They can harvest ultraviolet radiation and turn it into electric power by exploiting a photovoltaic effect.
We're changing the settings of the joystick that the driver uses to control the electric-powered wheelchair so that they become more like an expert off-road driver.
This week, we'll tell you how researchers are attempting to activate sluggish hair follicles in bald men, and how DNA evidence may reveal a suspect's hair color. Also, sea urchin teeth and hornet stripes that could inspire new technologies. But first, Suzanne Bard says researchers are using navigation technology used by the military to improve wheelchair design.
Electric wheelchairs help many disabled people live fuller lives, but operating them on surfaces like gravel, mud, or wet grass can be hazardous. Now, Florida A&M University roboticist Emmanuel Collins and his colleagues are designing an electric wheelchair navigation system which works like an automatic transmission in a car.
We're changing the settings of the joystick that the driver uses to control the electric-powered wheelchair so that they become more like an expert off-road driver.
He says the system will use laser technology to detect the type of terrain a wheelchair is about to encounter.
Once it senses a change of terrain, the joystick settings will change. The change of the settings should make the driver behave more wisely. For example, if we sense that you're on wet grass, then we know that you don't want to accelerate too quickly because the vehicle will slip. And you don't want to stop too quickly because, again, the vehicle will slip. But the joystick setting will make it so that it's very difficult for the driver to stop too quickly or accelerate too quickly. If you were on gravel, we know that on gravel, you mostly want to go as straight as possible. So we'll set the joystick setting so that it's more difficult for the driver to make a sharp turn. And so they won't make the kind of turns that will tend to dig the wheels into the gravel, which will cause the vehicle to be immobilized.
Collins and his colleagues hope to develop a kit that wheelchair manufacturers will one day be able to use to retrofit any electric wheelchair. He says cost is a factor, and the goal is to retrofit wheelchairs for no more than 10% above their original cost. He says disabled combat veterans are one group that will benefit from the new design.
And if we can make these electric-powered wheelchairs so that they can access environments that really they can't access now, then the veterans are going to have a fuller lifestyle despite their limitations to the wheelchair.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. A type of insect known as the Oriental Hornet harvests the sun's ultraviolet radiation and turns it into electric power through a process known as the photovoltaic effect.
They use it, apparently, for cooling their bodies when necessary, maybe for other things too.
That's theoretical physicist David Bergman of Tel Aviv University. He says his late colleague Jacob Ishai discovered the wasp's solar generating properties. And former graduate student Marian Plotkin incorporated the chemical substance making up the yellow stripes on the wasp's body into a solar cell to see if it would absorb UV light and turn it into electric power.
And it seems to work. It's very inefficient, but it opens a variety of possibilities. Maybe the hornet knows how to do it more efficiently. We still don't know.
With more study, he thinks the hornet stripes could lead to improvements in solar power generation. Next, Suzanne learned that a sea urchin's teeth never go dull.
Sea urchins protect themselves from the pounding waves of the intertidal zone and from hungry sea otters by literally chewing through stone. They use their super sharp teeth to dig safe hideaways for themselves. But despite all the wear and tear on their teeth, they never get dull, according to University of Wisconsin-Madison biophysicist Pupa Gilbert. She says the teeth are made of nanoscale layers of super-hard calcite crystals, separated by a softer organic material. When the softer layer is worn away, a new layer of hard crystal emerges.
They are continuously sharpening themselves as they are being used by the sea urchin. The part that does the grinding actually becomes sharp as it grinds.
She says the structure of the sea urchin's teeth could inspire the invention of nanomaterials that never go dull.
Thanks, Suzanne. If you watch crime shows, you know that you can get a suspect's DNA from a strand of hair. Now, scientists in the Netherlands have shown that you can also predict a suspect's hair color from their DNA. Forensic scientist Manfred Kaiser of Erasmus University Medical Center says that until now, only redheads could be reliably identified by genetic markers.
Unfortunately, the red hair color is very rare in basically all human populations, so the practical applications, like in forensics, of that red hair color DNA test was always very limited.
For the first time, his team found a way to tell blonde from brown hair using DNA, and even distinguish between different shades of these colors. So even when there's no hair at the crime scene, investigators may soon predict the hair color of an unknown suspect from sources like blood or saliva. Finally, in other hair-related news, to men who are prone to hair loss, creeping baldness is an unpleasant harbinger of old age. But to scientists studying it, male pattern baldness is a fascinating genetic mystery. Suzanne tells us about researchers who may be close to solving it.
The heads of men with male pattern baldness may look bare, but their scalps are actually covered with tiny, nearly invisible hairs, each sprouting from a shrunken hair follicle. In research published in the Journal of Clinical Investigation, University of Pennsylvania dermatologist George Cotsarellis and his colleagues report that these follicles have just as many stem cells as normal follicles. That means they're capable of producing normal hairs.
So this was somewhat of a surprise, but it suggests that because the stem cells are there, it may lower the threshold for developing treatments.
They found that the stem cells have stopped producing a type of progenitor cell needed to grow hair. Now they're trying to figure out why and how to coax the stem cells back into action.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of exciting science stories for you. But if you can't wait that long, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.